So, we want to get the do-nots out of the way right now, so we can talk about the do's. You know, what do we have to do? Whoops. Let me just take this off. This is, it's talking to me. Wait a second, it's talking to me. Hey, very embarrassing, this technology. Okay, so anyway, so as far as the do-nots are concerned, they're generally listed as 10, sometimes 11. We'll list them very quickly. First one is the heaviest do-not. We should not offend devotees who have dedicated their lives to propagating the holy name of the Lord. That means an ill of them. We should think positively of those personalities. Even if they don't have the highest understanding, as taught to us by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, still, we should worship those personalities. Anybody who's dedicated to propagating God consciousness. And of course, that does not mean Mayavadis. Like the Mayavadis apparently are dedicated to talking about Krishna. Like sometimes you have the Mayavadis giving these Bhagavad Saptahas. I was just reading one internet site of a particular individual who was giving Bhagavad Saptahas. Started out very nice. Very, very nice. He said, oh, Krishna is so nice. He's in Braj. He's the ultimate sweetness. And then the salt and the sweet rice came about. What was the salt and the sweet rice? The salt and the sweet rice, they said, yes, and those who are attached to sweetness, they worship Krishna as the absolute. And those who are attached to money, they worship Lakshmi as the absolute. And those who are attached to opulence, they worship Ganesh as the absolute, and all these absolutes, they're the same, because ultimately they're all manifestations of the one. So generally we see that in Hinduism, that people are talking about Krishna even, or God even, but their whole understanding of the tattva, the whole understanding of the philosophy is that God is inferior to the absolute, which is unknown, unnamed, formless, etc. And that actually, we can offend those people. You're actually perfectly authorized and encouraged to offend those who think that Krishna is a manifestation of the impersonal. Those people, we, as Prabhupada said, we can kick on their head with boots or whatever. So, but as far as those who actually accept the ultimate realization is personal God, those people we respect, we put their feet on our head, no matter what religion they're from. So the first defense is to avoid doing that, thinking, even thinking badly about such a person. Second offense, which is very common in India, is to consider the names of the demigods like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Indra, Varuna, any of these demigods, 33 million demigods, to be equal to or independent of the holy name of Lord Vishnu. And I don't think the prospective initiate has that problem, because she's not from India. That's a typical Indian problem. The gods. You go into a Hindu center and you say to the priest, where's God? He said, no, the God. And actually, as Prabhupada said jokingly one time, an Englishman understood that Krishna was God because he saw the rest of the deities in the Hindu center were working and Krishna was the only one enjoying with his girlfriend. So you know you come across God when you have the personality who's playing a flute, enjoying with his girlfriend eternally. He never has to go to work. And then the next offense is to disobey the order of the spiritual master. The spiritual master is representing the disciplic succession, representing his spiritual master, and he gives the disciple bhakti. As described, that Krishna does not give bhakti. It's the Guru and the Vaishnava that gives bhakti. Brahmanda brahmate kondo bhagyavan jeev guru krishna prasari bhai bhakti rata bhij. That we get bhakti from the Guru and from Vaishnavas after wandering through all the different places in this universe and other universes. And so we have to be very careful how we deal with the Guru, because our bhakti comes from it. If we offend the Guru, nakati katopi, you lose the bhakti. And then all your activities, even if you keep doing devotional service, or the external activities in devotional service, will not help you. So avoid offending or disobeying the order of the spiritual master. Next offense is to blaspheme or criticize literatures. Not only, well, we talk about Vedic, it doesn't mean only literatures from India, but it means, Veda means knowledge. Any literatures which extol the glories of God should not be criticized in any culture. Very, very important. Next offense is to think the glories of chanting Hare Krishna are imagination. Actually, Krishna's name is non-different from Krishna. We were reciting this verse yesterday. Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purnashana Nitya Bhakto Vinatvam Nama Navayo. Krishna is the same as his name, so it's not an imagination. And the next offense, of course, is to give some crazy, perverted interpretation about the holy names of the Lord. We just know the holy name. When Lord Chaitanya was talking to Vallabhacharya, or Vallabhavata at that time, he wasn't Vallabhacharya then. Vallabhacharya said, I have a very interesting interpretation of the holy name of Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya said, I don't know any of these things. All I know is that Krishna is Nandanandana. So he basically shut up Vallabhacharya or Vallabhavata. So we don't want to concoct any meanings in the holy name. Devotees sometimes in the West may do that in the name of preaching. They may say, oh, the chanting of Hare Krishna increases the alpha waves or the beta waves, or makes you more peaceful, or makes you a better student at school. You ever heard that before? You know, they do a test. All the devotees who chanted Hare Krishna, they had on the average of a higher grades in university than anyone else. It's nonsense. We're not concerned about that. That's an offense on chanting. Next offense is to commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting. Of course, in one sense, it's not offensive to be sinful. I'm not saying we should be sinful. But to think that the holy names will excuse your offenses, excuse your sins, that's offensive. Next offense after that is to consider chanting Hare Krishna to be like a ritual in the karma kandya functions of the Vedas. It's not. The chanting is directly in contact with God. It's not a ritual. We have rituals, yes. There's nothing wrong with rituals. Like the fire sacrifice, all these are rituals. And the interesting thing about rituals, it's necessary for them to be effective to understand the purpose behind them. But the chanting of Hare Krishna is so interesting that even if you don't understand the purpose behind it, it still acts. That's why devotees have Hari Nam. When they chant the holy names in public, dressed up in interesting fashion in the West, so that people think it's quite interesting. People are hearing, and they're making spiritual advancement just by hearing the holy names. So, that's different than any ritual. If people do another ritual, and for example, if someone puts on tilak, but they don't think of Krishna or don't say the mantra, it has no effect. It's no effect. It's just like war paint. You know, like in America, the Indians, American Indians have war paint. You know, they went to war. But it has no effect. Tilak must be put on thinking of Krishna with the mantra. Otherwise, it's not effective. Then it's just your makeup. Like, you might as well put kajal on. But the chanting of Hare Krishna, whether you're aware of it or not, it has some effect. And it's more effective if you're aware of it. If you're not aware of it, then it's inattentive chanting. But at least it has some effect. even if you're not aware, because it's always there. Krishna is always there in his holy name, regardless of your awareness. That's the difference. That's why it's not a ritual. You understand? Regardless of your awareness or not, Krishna is there. And so then the ninth offense is to instruct the faithless, rascal, demon, rakshasas, jackasses, nonsenses about the glories of the holy name. The reason, the whole point behind that is that if you give a fool good instruction, it simply makes him angry, first of all, and makes him commit offenses. Upadesho vimorganam prakopayana shantaya. So they will misuse that information, or they will commit offenses against what you're saying, or they will reject you. So when you're speaking to people about Krishna, you have to understand time, place, and circumstance. In other words, who the person is, where you are, what they can understand, and then you explain in terms of that. Like you have Jesus Christ, who appeared over 2,000 years ago. He says, to his followers, and he said, I have much to tell you, but you can't bear to hear. In other words, he couldn't tell them everything because they would commit more offenses. So we have to be careful what we tell people. And sometimes we can be speaking the purest philosophy and we can drive people away from Krishna consciousness. Just like we were listening the other day to Brahmatirtha Puru, who was speaking at the palace here in Prabhupada's disappearance day. And he was saying that when he came to see Prabhupada at the Kumbh Mela, he was the only new devotee there, or let's say almost new devotee. And all the other sannyasis and devotees wanted to pounce on him, to preach to him. And Prabhupada had to protect him from them. So therefore we have to be careful not to overload people with Krishna consciousness. That happened to me when I first went to the Hare Krishna temple. I walked in the temple and the person started preaching and I thought they've given me an overdose of Krishna consciousness. Too much. So that's an offense on chanting. If our preaching, if our speaking drives people away or has them commit offenses, that's an offense on chanting. And the tenth offense is to not have complete faith in the chanting of Hare Krishna and maintaining material attachments, even at... What's that? Oh, monopod. So even after understanding so many instructions of the matter. So the whole idea is as we're chanting, we should be praying to Krishna. We actually become more aware of our attachments. Like Prabhupada said, when you... when you're making ghee, the impurities rise to the surface. This is a typical example that Prabhupada gave. The impurities. Mm-hmm. So as you chant, you become aware. You think, oh my God, what was I thinking? Why was I doing that? My motive was so impure. Oh! Confirmed. I mean, we've all had that experience, isn't it? There's something we've been doing for the last 2 years, you know, even in our preaching, we think, I just became a guru so people could wash my feet. We realize our motivation. I just became a guru so that I can see my picture on the altar. This is the best of all selfies, I was thinking. I do it so much. But I'm just saying that the realization of your motive, internal motive, actually becomes like revealed. Your whole naked self, you know, psyche, becomes revealed to you as you chant. And then you become, hopefully you become disgusted. And you think, Hare Krishna. And I was preaching about pure devotional service. And thinking like a dog. So, agendas? Agendas? So, So therefore, the whole idea is as you chant, you have to be correcting your consciousness, your activity. You have to be introspective. Introspective means you look within. What is my motive? Why am I doing this? You know, why am I sitting at this initiation? You know, I have to be thinking like this. And of course, ultimately, the motivation has to be to please Prabhupada. Not simply, I'm getting many more followers. Confirmed. It's nice to have cows here. They confirm everything I say. So we have to be careful about that offense on chanting. That tenth offense is really, if you unpack it, really prominent in our devotional service. So we have to be continually trying to extricate ourselves and get rid of these impurities. And then, as I said, there are 11 offenses, actually, inattention while chanting. And that inattention while chanting, Bhaktivinoda Thakur states, is the root cause of all the other offenses. So that's the do nots. So let's go to the do's as far as devotional service is concerned. The first point is Savaimana Krishna Padara Vindayo. That whatever you're doing for Krishna, Yakurochi Yadishnachi Yajahoshi Kadasya, Yakpashashi Kantya Tatkurishwa Madarpana. Whatever you do for Krishna, you should be doing with the spirit of devotion. In other words, Krishna consciousness. Understanding who you're working for, what you're doing, what your motivation is. And so that's Krishna consciousness, not Niyamagraha. There's our businessman. So as you're doing everything, you should be pulling your mind back to help you understand why you're doing and what you're doing. Especially when you're chanting the holy names. And when you're chanting the holy names, you should have some sankalpa, some intention. When you're chanting. What does that mean, sankalpa? That means, why am I chanting? Before you start chanting in the morning, or the afternoon, or whenever you chant your rounds, you should be thinking, what is my motivation? What do I want? And the chanting should be a prayer to Krishna. That's what the chanting is. And of course, the basic meaning of the Hare Krishna mantra is, my dear Lord, my dear energy of the Lord, Srimati Radharani, please let me serve you in Krishna. I mean, that's really the meaning of the Hare Krishna mantra. So as we're chanting, we should be thinking of that prayer, praying. And as Prabhupada said, one should pray and chant like a child calling out for his mother. In other words, our prayer should be of such intensity. Tivrena Bhakti Yogena. Yajeta Purusham Puram. Tivra. Tivra means like forceful, intense. To be of such intensity that we really connect with Krishna. Because the chanting is a connection. You understand? A connection with Krishna. It's like if you're on the phone with someone. You say, can you hear me? And especially if you're calling from India. You say, can you hear me? I can hear you. Can you hear me? Isn't it sometimes? A mobile phone like that. So we should be like that with Krishna. Krishna, can you hear me? Can you hear me? I want your pure devotional service. And in order to cultivate that mood, it's important to study Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions, specifically the Shikshastika. The 8 instructions Lord Chaitanya has given us. Beginning with Chaito, Dharpana, Marjanam, etc. And enter into the mood of the Shikshastika. I know the devotees in the temple generally, they say the Shikshastika very quickly in the morning or ritualistically. But we should study this, especially Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written a very, very nice commentary on the Shikshastika. How do you pronounce it? Simone Bus? Anyway, I forget the name of it. I think it's with that Simone Bus on it, just the bus on it. On the Shakedown to Jared Jamita, and especially reading the Lord Chaitanya's eight prayers, and especially reading the last part of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in which Lord Chaitanya gives a little bit different, or Srila Prabhupada gives a little bit different translation of the Shikshashtika prayers. And if we study them, especially that last chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you can actually enter into the mood of Shikshashtika. And your chanting will become very, very intense. You'll be thinking of Krishna while you're chanting the holy names. Then, another point as far as advancing, which is actually maybe just as important, or maybe more important, is Mahatseva Mahuravi Muktes. To serve the Mahatmas. And we talked before about not offending someone who has dedicated their lives to propagating the holy name of the Lord. But on the other hand, you're screwed up there. So, on the other hand, to serve those, Mahatsevam Ohoriti Mukesh, which means you serve the Mahatmas. Of course, a Mahatma is not someone, like Prabhupada was giving a class, it was very interesting. Prabhupada said, someone who's a businessman thinks a big businessman is a Mahatma. Someone who's a politician thinks the prime minister is a Mahatma. You know, someone who is a technician thinks that the head of Microsoft is a Mahatma. Probably didn't say that, but I'm just paraphrasing. So, but Krishna actually says, who is a Mahatma? He says, Mahatma nastu mam partha daivam pratyakim ashrita bhajanchananya manaso yatva bhutadam aviyam. Mahatma is one who is always chanting about Krishna, or he's glorifying Krishna, bringing people to Krishna. And always established Daivam Prakriti Mashrita. He's taken shelter of the internal potency of the Lord. So that's a Mahatma. So we should serve them. Not only the Guru. I mean, everybody serves the Guru. That's easy. But we should serve all the Vaishnavas. We consider anyone who has dedicated their lives to serving Srila Prabhupada, or serving Lord Krishna, to be a Mahatma. And then we serve them. And by serving them, Krishna becomes very pleased. So that's a simple method. By doing that, you get a taste for chanting. Because we gradually want to move up the devotional hierarchy. From Ado, Shraddha, Tata, Sadhu, Sangota, Bhajanakriya, Anartan, Navritti. We want to get rid of the Anartans. Right now, of course, this is Bhajanakriya, part of Bhajanakriya, where you take initiation. But then, getting rid of the anartas, kama, krodha, mada, matsarya, varya, vaya, lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, etc. And then after that, you get rid of the anartas, then you become nishti, you become steady, fixed in devotional service 24 hours a day. And after that, you can actually get ruchi, or a taste for hearing and chanting. And all that comes from serving the Mahatmas. One can progress very rapidly. Of course, one of the best ways one can serve the Mahatmas is to spread Krishna consciousness. You know, Prabhupada said, when someone asked, they wanted to serve his lotus feet, Prabhupada said, my lotus feet are always moving, so therefore you have to go out and preach Krishna consciousness. So, anyway, so these are some secrets to advancing and getting a taste of chanting the holy name of the Lord. And initiation also means, at least in ISKCON, that one is vowing to follow certain rules and regulations. No meat, fish, or eggs, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling, chanting minimum 16 rounds a day. And this promise to do that is done in front of the fire, in front of Giriraj, in front of the spiritual master, in front of all the deities that you mentioned that are there. And promises are meant to be kept. One should be fixed in their determination. Yavasayatmika Budir Akeha Kuranandana. One pointed. If we have made a promise to do something, it's like when I joined the movement, I promised to remain in the movement and serve Srila Prabhupada. And even though there's so many challenges, People think it's easy, but there are so many challenges. Not just the ordinary adhyatmic, adhibodhic, and adhidaivic challenges, but there's the adhidivodhic challenges. Adhyatmic, miseries for the body, mind, miseries from other living entities. I guess that's part of adhidivodhic. Miseries from material nature in general. It's a challenge. It's a challenge. Like Prabhupada had so many challenges, and Prabhupada expected us to tolerate all these challenges and to go on serving him. Tattena kampam sushamikshamana bhujadavatma pratam vipakam ridvad bhavurvir vidadam namaste jivaita yo mukti daya udayava mukti padesidayava. So Krishna said, it says in the Bhagavatam that one goes on tolerating and serving Krishna, and serving Krishna with one's mind, body, and words, then one becomes a fit recipient or inheritor for pure devotional service. So in other words, the promise is to serve and not only chant, sit around, follow the four regulated principles, but to be part of Prabhupada's movement and serve. Convert. That's better than a tiki-tiki, right? You know what a tiki-tiki is? Tiki-tiki is the lizard of Bengal. The Prabhupada said, when you say something, when it goes tiki-tiki, it confirms it. But here in Braj, we have cows. So this is better than Bengal. Yes, in Bengal, they only have lizards. Here we have cows. So anyway, serving and remaining part of Prabhupada's movement. And I have done that since I joined the Hare Krishna movement in 1971. And there have been many challenges. And somehow or other, we're determined to please Prabhupada. Just like right now, I'm serving on the GBC. And sometimes I'm thinking, it's better just to be a Giriraj and chant Hare Krishna. But then I hear Prabhupada's voice saying, no, you rascal. So that's really what it means to take initiation. To be ready to surrender and sacrifice one's own happiness for the happiness of Krishna, the spiritual master. It's real surrender. That's Sharanagati. We were talking about Sharanagati the other day. The final two principles, having no separate interests, that's the interest of the Lord, and always being meek and humble. So, anyway, we're not demanding that at first initiation, don't worry. That comes later. So, anyway, so that's the lecture for today. So, so we're promising to stay within ISKCON and serve Prabhupada's movement, and also accept Prabhupada as the ultimate siksha for instruction in all of our activities of Krishna consciousness. So, next thing is the name, right?
Yeah, you can take a sankalpa.
Sankalpa.
Can we simple sankalpa?
Yeah.
You
do the sankalpa.
Take a flower, upset also in your eye.
Get that music up.
You get the phone. That's cool. Om, Parsat, Shri, Govinda, 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 Akshaya, Subhita, Shri Giriraj, Radha Shankar, Giriraj, Raghavan Shankar, Tadak, Shankar, Guru, Goran, Rational, Raja, Sanyuja, Krishna, Puti, Yerka, Diksha, Haridam, Diksha, Sanskaram, Sardaham, Krishna, Diksha. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And that determination should take time.
that's where. I guess I should say this. Sankalpa Signification of the Tomahashon. The Tomahashon is Tomah Nishashon, Akib, Govardhan, Asarga de Radakun, Nishanakun. That is the significado del Sankalpa. So the necklace. I actually have necklace.
Yeah, special necklace is what I do. Yeah, that's a good idea.
What? So, Kunti Mala. When I first joined the movement, the devotees didn't know how to pronounce Kunti Mala. They used to say Kunti Mala.
Kunti Mala.
It is, you know, Queen Kunti's flower. They say Kunti Mala? Kunti. Kunti. Kunti Mala. It means nothing.
Kunti means cut.
Yeah.
It's cut. So the thing which is the cunt is Kunti Mala.
Okay. Now I should give her a name and everything? Or? Okay. Yes, you should, so you should come pay obeisance as well to Giriraj and Prabhupada. From here, you can pay obeisance to Giriraj. He's under the branch. Do you have a picture of Prabhupada somewhere?
All the personalities are here.
Personality is there. Oh.
Yeah, in the court.
I think they ate too much. Anyway, so. Let me find a picture of Prabhupada. Does anyone have a picture of Prabhupada? Does anyone have a picture of Prabhupada?